Will the House please come to order? And Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Anderson.
Here.
Bagby.
Here.
Barbudo.
Here.
Berger. Berger. Blake.
Here.
Bonner.
Here.
Brechtel.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Buchanan.
Here.
Byrd.
Here.
Kennedy. Kennedy. Carson.
Here.
Childers. Cohey.
Here.
Connolly.
Here.
Kraft.
Here.
Davison. Davison.
Here.
Dirks.
Here.
Edmonds.
Here.
Esquivel.
Here.
Gilmore.
Here.
Gingery.
Here.
Goggles.
Here.
Hales.
Here.
Hallinan.
Here.
Hammonds. Harshman.
Here.
Harvey.
Here.
Illaway.
Here.
Yagi.
Here.
Jorgensen.
Here.
Landon. Lockhart.
Here.
Lubno.
Here.
Madden.
Here.
McKim.
Here.
McComey.
Here.
Mercer.
Here.
Meyer.
Here.
Miller.
Here.
Millen.
Here.
Moniz.
Here.
Patton.
Here.
Peasley. Peasley.
Here.
Pedersen.
Here.
Peterson.
Here.
Philp.
Here.
Korberg.
Here.
Roscoe. Roscoe.
Here.
Simlek.
Here.
Shepperson.
Here.
Steward.
Here.
Stubson.
Here.
Teeters.
Here.
Thompson.
Here.
Throne.
Here.
Wallace.
Here.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Here.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Here.
Mr. Speaker.
Here.
Berger.
Here.
Kennedy.
Here.
Childers.
Here.
Hammonds.
Excuse.
Hammonds excused. 59 present, 1 excused.
Our prayer today is by Reverend Bob Gerard, representing First Presbyterian Church. Thank you, Reverend Gerard, for being here this week.
It has been an honor and joy to meet you and to pray with you this week. Let us pray. Lord God, we are reminded that in the end of the first week of creation, you looked over what you had accomplished and called it good. We pray that today's work and this week's worth of actions by this assembly will be found to be good in your eyes. We thank you for being the source of the energy, intelligence, imagination, and love our representatives have poured out to serve the people of this state. Sustain them this day with your grace, embolden them with your truth, lead them by your light. Also remind them that at the end of the exhausting creation week, you took a day off to rest and nurture yourself. Make it possible for them to do the same. And, O God, guide those who will be on the road to travel safely so that they might return to this room where they are greatly needed by the citizens of Wyoming. Now, my friends, may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Amen. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, sir, party.
Thank you, Bob. Yeah, see you, I'm leaving.
Thank you.
Will the House please come to order? Our doctor of the day is Dr. Eric Waddell from Cheyenne, and the nurse of the day is Sue Howard from Campbell County Memorial Hospital. Thank you very much for being here. Journal Committee report.
Mr. Speaker, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of January 22nd, 2009 has been read and recommends that it be approved.
Messages from the Senate.
Message number 129. Mr. Speaker, the Senate adopted the Committee of the Whole report failing the bills listed below by the vote indicated. Senate File 120, Critical Access Hospitals Challenge Program, Ayes 3, Noes 27. The bill has been indefinitely postponed. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk.
Members of the House, since being elected to the United States Senate as Wyoming's 20th United States Senator in 1997, Mike Enzi has cast votes and worked on some of the most pivotal and historic issues of our time. At the start of the 109th Senate in 2005, Senator Enzi became only the ninth Wyoming Senator to ascend to the rank of chairman on one of the standing Senate committees. He is currently serving on the Budget Committee, Finance Committee, Health, Education, Labor and Pensions Committee, and Small Business and Entrepreneurship Committee. Senator Enzi grew up in Thermopolis and Sheridan and has a long record of public service to the people of Wyoming. He was elected as mayor of Gillette and then went on to serve in the Wyoming House from 1987 to 1990 and in the Wyoming Senate from 1991 to 1996. Senator Enzi also served in the Wyoming Air National Guard from 1967 to 1973. It is our great pleasure to have you here this morning, Senator Enzi, and welcome you home to Wyoming.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Speaker, members of the Wyoming Legislature. I always call this trip, and I come back every year, this is the revisiting my roots. And most of what I do, I learned right here. And I want to congratulate all of you for the work that you do. I want to congratulate the Speaker for his new job and also for the leadership you provided on Wolves, which has been undone, and on the East Gate, which is in flux or avalanche. But all of you know that all politics is local. And for the state of Wyoming, you're as local as it gets. You're the ones with the contact back home. And when you finish here in the short terms that you do, you go back and you live under the laws that you pass. I think that's one of the great secrets of Wyoming. Now, I know that you don't feel appreciated a lot of the time, and I went through that while I was down here too, until I had a man in Gillette tell me the only place you're going to find appreciation is in the dictionary. But what you do is valuable and gets things done. Now, yesterday we swore in the new senator from Colorado, and because Ken Salazar is going to be the new Secretary of Interior, and I've gotten to work with him. I think he'll do a real good job. But after he was sworn in, John Barrasso and I got to meet him, and he said, you know, we in Colorado are really envious of Wyoming because you have that big surplus. And I said, that's because of good legislating. I said, while you're back here, just follow what John and I do, and the nation will get better. I want you to know he's already missed direction on a couple of votes. But I also appreciate the job that you did training Senator Barrasso and Representative Lummis. They're doing a tremendous job, but they regularly recognize the training they got right here. Doing things the right way, with the right kind of rules, and with a real open agenda. but doing it so that everybody can understand the bill, read the bill, and keeping it under one topic. We're trying to transplant that to Washington, but we're not having any luck. Day before yesterday was a red letter day for me. I got to be appointed to the Finance Committee. Imagine having an accountant work on taxes. That's just one of the parts of the job, of course. I've been the chairman of the Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions Committee, and am now the ranking member, which is what the chairman of the minority is called. And I've gotten to work on all the health care policy. Now I get to work on paying for the health care policy, and I can be the liaison between that committee. But we also handle Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, and also some of the veterans' health. So other than that, it's just like the Revenue Committee here, which I got to chair on the Senate side. I've already gotten to cast a vote on that committee. You may have seen something on Geithner, who didn't pay his taxes, who we're going to appoint to be the head of collecting taxes. That committee also handles the, they call it the stimulus, I call it the bailout. And I've complained a lot about what has been in the bailout bill or what has not been in the bailout bill. When we write laws back there, we don't put the kind of words in that you do here where you actually know what the person's going to do with what you said. That's what I've been trying to get done in any of those packages that we try to do. But yesterday they said, okay, you're in charge of coming up with alternatives now for the stimulus package. So if they listen, we may be able to get some of the things done that I've been talking about for over a year. This started with a housing crunch. And so it seems to me like you kind of got to fix housing first. And I talked to the FDIC chairman about it. She had a marvelous idea. I started talking about that around Washington. I got a call from Mr. Paulson, Secretary of the Treasury, who said, you can't talk about that anymore. I said, I beg your pardon. I talk about anything I want to. But she's got a good idea, and that's where we ought to be going. Well, they shut her down, too. But now they're re-looking at some of those things that she was suggesting a year ago. I wish we could get some of the rules that you operate under, take them to Washington. I'll share with you some of the rules of legislating that I've noticed over the year. I'll do it briefly here. Pick a good title. You notice that when we vote on bills back there, it's a title that every American would really like to have. Of course, as you know, the devil's always in the details. Next week, we're going to be working on children's health insurance, and you will get to work on children's health insurance this session, too, I'm sure. But when you get into the details of the probably 1,000-plus bill that we have, there's probably 20% of that that you couldn't live with. Which brings up, of course, my 80-20 rule, my 80% rule. I have found that you can agree on 80% of the issues, and if you pick any one of those issues, you can agree on 80% of that issue. The difficulty we have in Washington is we only like to talk about that other 20%. And that 20% is never going to be resolved. And when you don't resolve the 20% and keep concentrating on it, the 80% goes by the wayside. So Wyoming legislators learned a long time ago to get done what you can get done and leave the rest of it till you come up with an alternate solution. And the people of Wyoming and you are very imaginative, and you come up with those alternate solutions. Finding that third way is the way you work through the other 20%. The process in Washington it's possible to avoid the process. We did that last week on a bill. It didn't go to committee, it just went straight to the floor. And almost always those bills never make it. The committee process is extremely important. You do that here. And you have small enough committees that you can actually converse with each other. In Washington, my committees are 23 people. You know, that's the size almost of the Senate. So it makes it a little more difficult to work, but it can be worked the same way. So we will continue to try to take the way Wyoming works to Washington, and perhaps someday they'll even have the kind of surpluses that Wyoming has. So thanks for all that you do and the way that you do it and the way that you live under the laws and meet with the people and have an open government. good luck in your session. It's always good to get back to see you.
Thank you, Senator, the sixth Wyomingite to be on the Finance Committee. And welcome Diana and Brad Enzi. It's always nice to see you and the grandson. Hey, buddy. Welcome to the House.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Pedersen.
Mr. Speaker, the grandson's name is Trey, and he's one of my son Brock's very best friends, so I just want to say hello, Trey.
And I didn't see Danielle. She was sitting behind a post there. Hi, Trey. Welcome to the House, and Senator Enzi, on behalf of the Wyoming Legislature, thank you for visiting us today and sharing your words with us. We always appreciate it very much.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Illoway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In the South Balcony is the Cheyenne Boys and Girls Club, some of the kids from the Cheyenne Boys and Girls Club, and their executive director, Rolinda Sample. Please say hi to them.
Welcome to the House of Representatives. Members of the House, joining us on this snowy morning is Mr. Dominic Bravo, Administrator of the Division of State Parks, Historic Sites and Trails, who will introduce 20 students from Pioneer Elementary School and their art instructor, Mr. Weber. Mr. Bravo and the kids are going to tell us about a fun winter celebration taking place here in Cheyenne this weekend to debut the Wyoming Kids Extreme Program. This program is an extension of the Children and Nature Initiative to reconnect youth to the outdoors, and our own Senator Burns is a sponsor of this event. Welcome to you all. Mr. Bravo.
Thank you for having us. I'd like to introduce 20 students from Pioneer Park. They'll be handing out invitations as a preview to our Wyoming Kids Extreme Fire and Ice event. These 20 artists will be attempting to ice sculpt either creations of their own or possibly some of our historic sites, possibly Piedmont Kilns or Ames Monument. I would like to say that we were just over at the Senate side and they were a little unruly and started tossing the snowballs around, so I don't know if that'll happen here on the House side. but our main event will be tomorrow, Saturday, from 9 to 12, where we'll have our snowmobile simulator and just tons of different snow events, which the weather is cooperating with us, including we're even making snow right now on the ground. So please go ahead and hand out the invitations.
Builder Boys, you helped me across the street at the Historic Governor's Mansion.
Yes, sir. How's it going? Thank you. How's it going? Wonderful.
Dominic and kids, this sounds like a fantastic event, and especially with the snow falling outside this morning. And members of the House, if you have your kids or your grandchildren in town this weekend, I encourage you to grab some hot chocolate and go outside for the celebration. And it sounds like a great cure for the cabin fever that you're exhibiting at the moment. Thank you, Dominic. Thank you, kids. Uh-oh. Careful. Dominic, I'm going to blame this on you.
Mr. Speaker, does this replace rubber bands?
Okay, let's have a little order in this house. All right, come on. All right, let's have a little decorum. Okay. Okay. Thank you, Dominic, I think. Okay.
Oh, he's gonna stop that.
going to put a few rocks in mine before I throw them.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Childers.
Since rubber bands were taken away from this floor several years ago, can we have a supply of these since they don't hurt?
We'll see what kind of nice crafts you can make to this morning. Okay, back to business. We are in that order of business of introduction, reading, and reference of bills. First bill for our consideration is House Bill 64.
House Bill 64, introduced by the Representative Sebsum.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to workers' compensation co-employee immunity.
House Bill 64 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 77.
House Bill 77, introduced by Representative Stubson.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to regulation of traffic on highways and civil actions.
House Bill 77 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill Number 126.
House Bill 126, introduced by Representative Gingrich.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to civil procedure regarding seat belts.
House Bill 126 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 235.
House Bill 235, introduced by Representative Mercer.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to child protection case planning.
House Bill 235 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 251.
House Bill 251, introduced by Representative Gingrich.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to trusts, retirement funds, accounting.
House Bill 251 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is House Joint Resolution Number 6.
House Joint Resolution Number 6, introduced by Representative Hallinan.
First reading of the bill.
A joint resolution proposing to the amendment to amend the Wyoming Constitution to modify health care provider cases.
House Joint Resolution 6 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 252.
House Bill 252, introduced by Representative Landon.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the Wyoming Retirement System Hospital Participation.
House Bill 252 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 248.
House Bill 248, introduced by Representative Harshman.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to school facilities, remedy criteria.
House Bill 248 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 249.
House Bill 249, introduced by Representative Harshman.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to public education accountability.
House Bill 249 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 254.
House Bill 254, introduced by Representative Harshman.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to public education regarding curriculum choice.
House Bill 254 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 255.
House Bill 255, introduced by Representative Harshman.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to school districts regarding kindergarten programs.
House Bill 255 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 245.
House Bill 245, introduced by Representative Brown.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to game and fish regarding wolf management.
House Bill 245 is referred to Committee Number 6, Travel. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 247.
House Bill 247, introduced by Representative Escobel.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to motor vehicle registration.
House Bill 247 is referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 256.
House Bill 256, introduced by Representative McComey.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to motor vehicles, use of cell phones while driving.
House Bill 256 is referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation. The next bill for our consideration is House Joint Resolution 13.
House Joint Resolution Number 13, introduced by Representative Cohey.
First reading of the bill.
A joint resolution requesting Congress to defeat the Employee Free Choice Act.
House Joint Resolution 13 is referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill Number 169.
House Bill 169, introduced by the Mineral Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to mortgage loan originators.
House Bill 169 is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. The last bill for our consideration is House Bill 253.
House Bill 253, introduced by Representative Landon.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the administration of government and the Wyoming Health Care Commission.
House Bill 253 is referred to Committee Number 10, Labor.
We are at that order of business. Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom is referred House Bill 3, respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Brown, Kraft, Hales, Illaway, Miller, Stubson, Zwanitzer, Dan, No, Dirks, Lubno. Signed, Representative Illaway, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred House Bill 35, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Brown, Kraft, Dirks, Hales, Illaway, Lubno, Miller, Stubson, Zwanitzer, Dan. Signed, Representative Illaway, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom is referred House Bill 76, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Brown, Kraft, Dirks, Hales, Illaway, Lubno, Miller, Stubson, Zwanitzer, Dan. Signed, Representative Illaway, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom is referred House Bill 47, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Blake, Carson, Cohey, Gilmore, Hallinan, Madden, McKim, Peterson, Zwanitzer, Dave. Signed, Representative Cohey, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred House Bill 83, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Blake, Carson, Cohey, Gilmore, Hallinan, Madden, McKim, Peterson, Zwanitzer, Dave. Signed, Representative Cohey, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom is referred House Bill 180, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Blake, Carson, Cohey, Gilmore, McKim. No, Hallinan, Madden, Peterson, Zwanitzer, Dave. Signed, Representative Cohey, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom is referred House Bill 190, respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Blake, Carson, Cohey, Gilmore, Hallinan, McKim, Peterson. No, Madden, Zwanitzer, Dave. Signed, Representative Cohey, Chairman.
Mr.
Representative Illaway.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to re-refer House Bill 3 to Committee 2 Appropriations.
Okay. With no objections, it is so ordered. Representative Cohey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem, respectfully, I would like to ask that House Bill 180 be re-referred from Committee Number 8 to Committee Number 2 as it has an appropriation in it.
Without objection, it is so ordered. We're at that order of business of bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 2.
House Bill 2, introduced by Representative Childers, an act relating to motor vehicles regarding street rods and custom vehicles.
House Bill 2, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Here, no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 8.
House Bill 8, introduced by the Corporation Committee, an act relating to certified public accountants.
House Bill 8 has an amendment. Representative Brown.
Mr. Chairman, I move Amendment 1, second reading Amendment 1 to House Bill 8. Ladies and gentlemen, this is on page 10, line 4. On that page, we had made a change that said, had the effect of saying, that an applicant under that section should list on his application all jurisdictions, foreign and domestic, in which the applicant has applied for and holds a designation to practice certified public accountancy. That was an amendment, and we did change, I think, everywhere in this bill with the previous amendment, we changed public accountancy to certified public accountancy. This amendment that I am offering to you would take the word certified back out in that particular spot so that it would leave the section to say an applicant shall list all jurisdictions, foreign and domestic, in which he's applied for or holds a designation to practice public accountancy. I didn't feel that in this particular situation, which is where an application is being submitted to practice in this jurisdiction, that the previous experience ought to be limited to certified public accountancy. It ought to be everywhere that he's practiced, he or she's practiced public accountancy, so that the application contains a full disclosure. And on that basis, Mr. Chairman, I submit the amendment and stand for questions.
Anybody else for the first time? Hearing none. Question being called. All those in favor of second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 8, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passed. House Bill 8 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 12.
House Bill 12, introduced by the Agriculture Committee, an act relating to brand inspection fees.
House Bill 12 has an amendment. Representative Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem. I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 12. Mr. Speaker, Pro Tem, yesterday the good chairman from the Agriculture Committee presented this bill, and in the testimony said that the fees would be collected from the livestock owner. I just thought that we should clarify that in our statutes and indicate that so that any future interpretation that would be clear where that was coming from. And so that's what the proposal is of this amendment.
Representative Semlick. Chairman Semlick.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem, appreciate this amendment. We did have some discussion about clarifying exactly who would be the responsible party in the event that we would do these reimbursables to the brand inspectors. It's now more clear, and we consider this to be a friendly amendment. Thank you.
Okay. Further discussion. Question being called. All those in favor of second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 12, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passed. House Bill 29. Oh, House Bill 12, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Now, House Bill 29.
House Bill 29, introduced by the Tribal Committee, Tribal Participation in Community Facilities Program.
House Bill 29, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 34.
House Bill 34, introduced by Representative Illaway, an act relating to alcoholic beverages, liquor, licensees, industry representatives.
House Bill 34, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 98.
House Bill 98, introduced by Representative Millen, an act relating to crimes and offenses, mandatory minimum sentence for sex abuse of a minor.
House Bill 98, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 135.
House Bill 135, introduced by Representative Childers, an act relating to the liability of owners of land regarding Recreational Safety Act.
House Bill 135, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 150.
House Bill 150, introduced by Representative Lubnow, an act relating to peace officers' definition.
House Bill 150, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 165.
House Bill 165, introduced by Representative Lubnow, an act relating to civil procedure regarding adult adoption.
House Bill 165, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, Representative Zalanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can I have a privilege of the floor?
Certainly.
Thank you. Members of the legislature, if you would look in the North Gallery, we are joined today by students from Wyoming's virtual school and their teacher, Michelle Robbins. I think we have six kids down here in town. If they would please stand up and we would recognize Wyoming's virtual school kids.
And welcome to the House of Representatives. We are at that order of business, bills on third reading and final passage. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 49.
House Bill 49, introduced by Representative Gingrey, an act relating to marriage licenses being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 49, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson. Bagby.
Aye.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Gilmore.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Hales. Hallinan, Hammonds excused, Harshman, Harvey, Illaway, Yagi, Jorgensen, Landon, Lockhart, Lubnow, Madden, McKim, McComey, Mercer, Meyer, Miller, Millen, Moniz, Patton, Peasley, Pedersen, Peterson, Philp, Korberg, Roscoe, Simlek,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Thompson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 ayes, 1 excused.
Oh. House Bill 49, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 49 has passed the House. House Bill 90.
House Bill 90, introduced by the Appropriation Committee, an act relating to the education programs on the Wind River Indian Reservation, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 90, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Gilmore.
Aye.
Gingery. Goggles,
aye.
Hales,
aye.
Hallinan,
aye.
Hammonds excused, Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jorgensen,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Lubnow,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Mercer,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Millen,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
aye.
Pedersen,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Philp.
Aye.
Korberg.
Aye.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Semlick.
Aye.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Thompson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 ayes, 1 excused.
House Bill 90, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 90 has passed the House. House Bill 91.
House Bill 91, introduced by the Appropriations Committee, an act relating to fire and electrical safety, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 90, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll. House Bill 91. Sorry.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Gilmore,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Hales,
aye.
Hallinan,
aye.
Hammonds excused, Harshman, Harvey,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jorgensen,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Lubnow,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Mercer,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Millen,
Moniz, aye.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
aye.
Patterson,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Philp,
aye.
Horberg,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Semlick,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Stewart,
no.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Thompson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 1 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 91, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 91 has passed the House. House Bill 118.
House Bill 118, introduced by Representative Pedersen, an act relating to the Uniform Prudent Management of Institutional Funds Act, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 118, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks.
Aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Gilmore,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Hales,
aye.
Hallinan,
aye.
Hammonds excused, Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jorgensen,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Lubnow,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Mercer,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Millen, Moniz,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
aye.
Pedersen,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Philp,
aye.
Korberg,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Semlick,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Thompson,
aye.
Throne, Wallace,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
Throne.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 ayes, 1 excused.
House Bill 118, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 118 has passed the House. House Bill 137.
House Bill 137, introduced by Representative Mercer, an act relating to criminal procedure regarding videotape depositions of minors. being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 137 having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Pass. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson. Bagby. Barbudo. Berger. Blake. Bonner. Brechtel. Brown. Buchanan. Byrd. Kennedy. Carson. Childers. Cohey. Connolly. Kraft. Davison. Dirks. Edmonds. Esquivel. Gilmore. Gingery. Goggles. Hales. Hallinan. Hammonds excused. Harshman. Harvey. Illaway. Yagi. Jorgensen. Landon. Lockhart. Lubnow. Madden. McKim. McComey. Mercer. Meyer. Miller. Millen. Moniz. Patton. Peasley. Pedersen. Peterson. Philp. Korberg. Roscoe. Semlick. Shepperson. Stewart. Stubson. Teeters. Thompson. Throne. Wallace. Zwanitzer Dan. Zwanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker, I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 ayes, 1 excused.
House Bill 137, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of members elected to the House, House Bill 137 has passed the House. No. Representative Cohey.
Thank you, Chairman Cohey. Mr. Speaker, pro tem. With respect, I request that House Bill 247 be re-referred from Committee Number 8 to Committee Number 3, as there is some language germane to another bill.
Without objection, it is so ordered. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro tem, I move that the House resolve itself into Committee of the Whole.
You have heard the motion. The House is resolved into... All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passed. And Representative Shepperson.
Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 25. Oh, excuse me, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ladies and gentlemen, just today, don't go off the white sheet that I handed out, or make sure we already did that first bill or it's not on there. So go off of your yellow sheet that has a general file. And then House Bill 55 will... be moved up and take the place of House Bill 221, and 221 will just swap those two around. House Bill 155 goes up where 221 was, and 221 goes down to where 155 was.
The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 25. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
House Bill 25, introduced by Representative Illaway, an act relating to special license plates, retention by the spouse. This bill was referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, which recommended that it do pass. Ayes, Blake, Carson, Cohey, Gilmore, Hallinan, Madden, McKim, Peterson, Swanitzer, Dave, signed, Representative Cohey, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Cohey.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move that when Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 25 do pass. For an explanation of the bill, I refer to the silver-haired gentleman from Laramie County.
Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, my good friend from House District 35. House Bill 25, Special License Plate Retention by Spouse, was requested by the Wyoming National Guard Retiree Council and the Wyoming National Guard Board of Directors. And just let me walk you through the bill. The main parts are on page 2, a National Guard license plate. A person gets that if he presents documentation that he's currently serving in an active or retired status of the Wyoming National Guard, or is the surviving spouse of a deceased Wyoming National Guard member who was issued a license plate under this paragraph prior to death, and the spouse is drawing a military survivor annuity. And the second part of this is a Purple Heart recipient license plate, and it has the same similar language. Is the surviving spouse of a deceased Purple Heart recipient who was issued a license plate under this paragraph prior to death. There are approximately 1,500 plates, specialty plates. They are a specialty plate. There is a fee of $35 along with the property tax. And if the question comes up, what happens if the spouse remarries? They lose all privileges. So this is just asking for the spouse, the surviving spouse of a deceased Wyoming National Guard member, or the surviving spouse of a deceased Purple Heart Award recipient. I stand for questions.
Representative Goggles.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just have one question, or maybe one question of two parts. What other benefits, are there any benefits associated with the plate that are not mentioned on this bill?
Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Not that I know of.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Cohey's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill Number 25 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 25 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 51. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
House Bill 51, introduced by Representative Bagby, an act relating to motor vehicles regarding handicapped motorcycle plates. This bill was referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, which recommended that it do pass with amendments. Ayes, Blake, Carson, Cohey, Gilmore, Hallinan, Madden, McKim, Peterson, Swanitzer, Dave, signed, Representative Cohey, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Cohey.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. I move that when Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a recommendation that House Bill 51 do pass. There is a standing committee amendment. I would move standing committee amendment number 1 to House Bill 51 at this time. Members of the House, a standing committee amendment number 1 to House Bill 51 does is to allow our license section of our Department of Transportation agency to devise a system of enumeration that would best fit the modeling necessary for a special plate for motorcycle use. I would so move that at this time, Madam Chairwoman.
You have heard the motion on the Standing Committee Amendment. Question being called. All those in favor of the Standing Committee Amendment number 1 to House Bill 51, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The Standing Committee Amendment number 1 has been adopted. We're back on the bill. Chairman Cohey.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. For the balance explanation of the bill, I refer to the vertically challenged gentleman from Carbon County.
Representative Bagby.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. We do have handouts on this bill that's on your desk. I bring before you House Bill 51, Handicapped Motorcycle License Plates. This bill passed the House 2 years ago and died on general file in the Senate, so we're bringing it back. The bikers want a permanent handicap plate for their motorcycles that they can use to park their motorcycles in handicapped parking places, like in front of grocery stores and restaurants and places like that. They want something that the wind is not going to blow off. Right now they have these little stickers that they stick on their bikes. The wind blows it off, and when they're inside, sometimes people will steal their stickers. There's 10 states that provide handicap plates, and the Wyoming Department of Transportation will provide the plate. The county treasurers do not oppose this bill, and there's no physical note on the bill. At this time, I'll go through the bill. Starting out on page 1, line 17, special license plate means a license plate that displaces the international symbol of access. And then going down to line 6, at the very bottom of the line there, a special license plate used for motorcycles shall not be less than 3 inches wide and 6 inches long and shall contain the international symbol of access and appropriate identification, which may be in lieu of the bucking horse and the rider emblem. This bill would, starting on line 13, effective January 1st, 1993, any person eligible for a special placard under subsection of this section may apply to the county treasurer for special license plates for a motor vehicle owned by that person. For purposes of this section, motor vehicles shall include motorcycles as defined in the statutes. Special license plates will not be issued to any person who is eligible for a temporary removable windshield placard under subsection G of this section. So with that, Madam Chairman, I stand for questions. If there is no questions, I would move the bill. I would ask for the question.
Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chairperson. I certainly rise in support of this bill. Sitting on the Transportation Committee, we heard compelling testimony from individuals that have a need for this license plate. Frequently they are removed from their vehicles. They're not of something as a permanent duration. It's a class of citizens in our society that needs some support here so they can park in the disabled parking lots. We had a discussion there about safety issues with the respective people that handle these cycles, and I think that was well satisfied to the committee's viewpoint. Therefore, I certainly rise in support and would urge the body to vote aye on this amendment or support the amendment. Thank you.
We do have a committee of the whole amendment. Representative Hallinan.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move committee the whole amendment number 1 to House Bill 51 and request your favorable consideration of it. This amendment permits, the way the law was written, even the way it came out of our committee, we found that it would only allow them to have one license plate. This amendment will allow them, these folks with the motorcycle, also to have an additional one in addition to the one that they get for their car. They're handicapped whether they're driving their car or whether they're riding their motorcycle. And it was pointed out that this was a defect of the bill. Speaker, or our chairman asked us to look into this, and this is the remedy that we found for it. I would say it's a necessary thing. These folks with the motorcycle, they have used a placard in the past. The placards are taken away from their vehicle when it's parked. They come back and find out they're in trouble with local police officers. So This will allow them to have a placard for both their car and their motorcycle, and I urge your approval of it. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Representative Bagby.
Madam Chairman, I find this amendment compatible to the bill.
Representative Gilmore.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'm on and for the amendment. A little clarification. Someone thought that these were just straight motorcycles. Actually, they're the three-wheeler type motorcycles. You see a lot of handicapped people that testified in our committee had one leg, and there's definitely a need to have them identified as a handicapped person so they can park in the spaces a little closer to the store. And I'm on and for the amendment.
All those in favor of Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 51, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The amendment is adopted. We're back on the bill. Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Cohey's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 51 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 51 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 106. Chairman Gingrey. Oh, excuse me. You have heard. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
House Bill 106, introduced by Representative Lubnow, an act relating to criminal procedure regarding firearm ownership, domestic violence offenses. This bill was referred to Committee Number 1 Judiciary, which recommended that it do pass with amendments. Ayes: Bagby, Barbuto, Kennedy, Gingrey, Mercer, Patton, Peasley, Quarberg, Throne. Signed, Representative Gingrey, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Gingrey?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill Number 106 do pass. And I further move the adoption of Standing Committee Amendment Number 1. But you're going to need the explanation of that amendment. So I'll just turn over the explanation of the amendment and the bill to the good representative from Campbell County.
Representative Lubnow.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Let me tell you a story. In 2004, in the 2004 legislative session, this body passed a bill that allowed expungement of criminal records for firearms purposes. The federal government has a rule that if you're involved in a domestic violence incident of any type, that you cannot, for the rest of your life, possess or own a firearm unless there's a complete expungement of your record. The federal statute says that an expungement granted pursuant to this section shall only be used for purposes of restoring firearm rights that have been lost to persons that's our statute. We passed a statute that said that you could get an expungement for firearms rights purposes only. The federal government then in August of 2004, after the statute went into effect, sent a letter to the Attorney General indicating that the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms determined that federal, not state law, governed the definition of expunge, and that the Wyoming statute didn't meet the federal definition. About a year later, ATF sent the Attorney General another letter and explained that ATF would notify federally licensed firearm dealers that a Wyoming conceal and carry permit would no longer excuse a background check pursuant to their federal statute. The Attorney General responded that we did comply with federal law with our expungement statute, and the ATF gave Wyoming a choice: either bar individuals with convictions expunged pursuant to our statute from obtaining conceal and carry permits, or draft legislation to fix the disparity between the federal definition of expunge and our statute. If Wyoming failed to comply with one of these alternatives, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms indicated that it would require federally licensed firearm dealers to conduct background checks on all conceal and carry permit holders. Wyoming refused to comply, and a federal lawsuit was had. In the summer of this year, the Tenth Circuit Court of Appeals issued a decision that says, in In summary, Wyoming, you lose. Your expungement statute does not comply. So now we have an expungement statute that jeopardizes our conceal and carry permits. After the decision was issued, the Attorney General, on his own motion, quit issuing conceal and carry permits to those people whose records had been expunged under this statute, which was one person. So what I bring to you today is a bill to bring the statute into compliance. With the amendment, what it says is for certain listed offenses, you can petition to a court or a judge to have your record expunged. The prosecutor has to do a background check, the court has to have a hearing, and then your record will be expunged. The federal government, their policy doesn't make sense, says it has to be a complete expungement, meaning that you don't have any record at all of anything. It's silly policy, but it's the federal policy, and it places our conceal and carry permits in jeopardy. I received a correspondence from the state's chief legal officer the day before yesterday, in which he writes, the ATF still has heartburn, and this is in part, I'm just selecting quotes out of the email, but I'm not changing any of the meaning. The ATF still has heartburn about the wording of our statute, but they're aware we are not issuing CCW permits in light of the Tenth Circuit decision, and they are expecting a statutory change. If the legislature does nothing, the ATF may take some action to disallow Wyoming CCW permits to be used as a substitute for the instant background checks. I know they don't like the existence of the law as written, even though we are not following that law in light of the Tenth Circuit decision. So what we have here is a matter of public policy for the legislature to decide. If we do nothing, the ATF may reject our CCW permits as a substitute for instant background checks. If we want to expunge misdemeanor convictions for those certain listed offenses, we pass the amendment. Or if we don't want to have any expungements at all, perhaps an amendment to repeal the statute is appropriate. Since this body had passed an expungement statute, I thought to protect our CCW permits, the least intrusive way in our statutes was to just bring it back to a complete expungement. That's a matter of policy for this board. With that, I'd stand for any questions.
We are on Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 106. Is there any other discussion?
Question.
Question being called. All those in favor of Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 106, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 has been adopted. We are back on the bill. Is there any other discussion? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Gingrey's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill Number 106 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 106 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 46. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
House Bill 46, introduced by the Transportation Committee, an act relating to the National Guard Medical Professional Retention Program. This bill was referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, which recommended that it do pass with amendments. Ayes, Blake, Carson, Gilmore, Hallinan, McKim, Swanitzer, Dave. No, Cohey, Madden, Peterson. Signed, Representative Cohey, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Cohey?
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 46 do pass. House Bill 46 is a joint Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs Interim Committee bill, which was studied over our interim. And there is a Standing Committee Amendment, which I would like to move at this time, Madam Chairwoman. I would so move Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 46. Members of the House, what Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 46 does is reduces the requested appropriation in the bill to half the amount, from $640,000 to $320,000. And since it is a four-year program of reimbursement to medical practitioners with the National Guard, the reappeal date was moved from 2012 to 2013, which makes it a four-year program. So I would so move Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 46 at this time, unless there are questions.
Is there any other discussion on Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 46? Question being called. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 has been adopted. Chairman Kohi.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. For an explanation of the bill, I would refer to the good doctor representative from Campbell County.
Representative Hallinan.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'll just walk you through the bill fairly briefly here, I hope. And we'll start with what this program is all about. It's all about retaining the medical professionals that are required for our National Guard troops. If you go to page 2, you'll see that the program is a reimbursement program for their malpractice insurance premiums. That's the methodology that was selected to effectuate this recruitment and retention. These funds will be managed and administered by the Adjutant General of the National Guard. The people that are eligible for this are qualified medical professionals, being physicians or dentists, licensed to practice medicine or dentistry in the state of Wyoming. The way the program is set up initially is 25% of the total cost of malpractice paid during a calendar year, to a maximum of $7,000 per year, as amended by our committee. The individual must be a resident of Wyoming, and he must be a qualified medical professional. Any individual receiving benefits under this who does not complete their obligation to a four-year obligation, as initially written here, has to give all the money back. And that essentially is the bill as written. And I do have a standing committee amendment to present, if I may.
Representative Allen.
Committee of the Whole amendment.
Yes, please.
Yeah. Thank you, Madam Chairman. So I move Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 46 and request your favorable consideration of it. This amendment, after we saw how much money we had to spend, according to the bill, as approved by the Appropriations Committee, we thought could be improved to obtain a better bang for our buck. We thought we'd have better success with an amendment, as I'm presenting here, to be a one-time signing bonus. The amendment reads as follows. A one-time reimbursement of the medical and dental malpractice insurance premiums for individuals as qualified by this bill. They would get, those who sign for 2 years would get 50% of their most recent premium for a year, 1 year's premium, 50% of that, or $15,000 as a maximum. For those individuals who signed for 4 years, they would receive 100% of their most recent malpractice premium, or a maximum of $30,000. If you'll take a look at the handout that was passed out, and I think it pretty much gives the reason for the bill and for this amendment. It shows that the Army National Guard, they have about half of their slots are filled. These individuals are needed both for training and for deployment. So about half are filled in the Army National Guard and about half of the slots in the Air National Guard. If you'll take a look at that, you'll see how much would be expended for those currently in the National Guard and the ones that the Guard believes that they need to recruit. If you look at the bottom there, if all of these individuals are retained and all of them are recruited, the total cost of this would be $326,000. and it also shows how much is going to be expended for each one of those individuals. So in effect, with this amendment, we would be able to potentially recruit people to fill the slots of the four who are now eligible for retirement in the Guard, currently serving, and we would also hopefully be able to recruit the ones that are needed and fill all the slots at a cost of $326,000. We pay it now, and we won't see it again. It's appropriated into the fund and is available for this purpose. So I stand for questions on both the Standing Committee Amendment, I guess, and on the bill.
Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chairperson. I certainly rise in support of this amendment and the bill. From past service life that I had as a staff judge advocate in the military, when we worked with the medical profession, there were two things that were very important to that particular profession and the retention of medical personnel to render services throughout a period of time. And most of these medical personnel went into the military under contract provisions such as just being laid out in this amendment. Two things, once again, that brought them in was, one, medical malpractice insurance coverage or payment by the military. That was a big plus to draw individuals into the military. The second thing is they had definite work hours. Instead of being on call at all times, it was worked out so that they had specific periods of time that they were on call. And as a result, that was a big plus to them. It was a big plus to those of us that needed the services because we knew on such a block of time you could receive respective medical services. In the testimony that came up here, of course, the National Guard is no different than any other. One of the fallacies or one of the problems with the military operations is you have deployments. Deployments are devastating frequently on family life and certainly on medical practices and whatever other professional practices these individuals are engaging in. As you can see by this amendment, it's talking about a 2-year and a 4-year windows of opportunity here. And in the 2-year, of course, there is not as much compensation in terms of the medical practice. Malpractice payment, a 4-year is more extensive, which certainly fits the bill here. I would offer to the body that from past experience and what we're seeing here, as well as testimony we heard, the Guard will receive some favorable responses to this program. We need to have the Guard strengthened because we're going to have massive deployment that's taken place. In fact, I think it's the largest in the history of Wyoming, and there has to be a medical component that goes along with it. So for the amendment, I certainly would encourage support of that as well as the bill so that we can have a complete contingent that goes on deployment from the state of Wyoming.
Is there any other discussion on Committee of the Whole Amendment 46? Representative Byrd.
Madam Chairman, I'd like to declare a conflict.
Thank you. Any other discussion on Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1? All those in favor of Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The amendment is adopted. We are back on the bill. Is there any other discussion? Question being called.
Madam Chairman.
Oh, excuse me, Representative Corbett.
I apologize for not getting up here sooner. Was there testimony in committee that this would actually help retain and recruit individuals who are thinking about going in? And are there, that's one question. Then do they also get signing bonuses in addition to this? And are there other professions that might be coming along that would also benefit from this type of incentive? Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Representative Hallinan.
Thank you, Representative Korberg. There was testimony in the committee that even the original $7,000 maximum plan would be a recruitment potential. Personally, and from my own experience, I feel that a signing bonus is much preferable than a 4-year payment of a small amount as far as recruitment. When somebody signs on, they get the money, and that's usually a pretty good incentive. we're talking about fairly significant amount of dollars. That was discussed. It was discussed with the military department, and they were favorably impressed with this approach. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Representative Lemno.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. In my other life, one of the things that I work on most of the time is physician recruitment for some of my clients. The two things that draw physicians who are, as we know, under a nationwide shortage into being recruited are exactly what the good doctor colleague from House District 32 said, signing bonuses and medical malpractice payments. The others that hospitals use are income guarantees, which I don't think are appropriate for this situation. We have an obligation when we put young men and women in harm's way to give them the best equipment and the best medical treatment available. If we're deploying some 1,000 people later this summer into harm's way, we better make sure we have the people to take care of them. And if we have open slots, we better fill those slots, and this is a small price to pay.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And in reading through the bill, and hopefully I didn't miss it, but in looking on page 4 for the eligibility requirements, is there a requirement somewhere that I see we have 50% of the actual cost of the premiums paid, the lesser of 50% of total cost of insurance premiums paid, or $14,000 per calendar year for each year of the service contract. Well, under the first scenario, to get to that number, you know that they're carrying medical malpractice insurance. I don't have a problem with that. But if it's the $14,000 a year, what's to prevent somebody from just getting the $14,000 for each year of their contract and not having any need for reimbursement for medical malpractice insurance? Is there some kind of verification there that they're actually carrying it before they get the money?
Representative Hallinan.
Thank you, Madam Chairman, and thank you, Mr. Majority Leader. In the Committee of the Whole amendment, we deleted that section about the $14,000, so that's not part of the bill any longer. So it's only the signing bonus that's part of this bill at this time, as I understand it.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you. The question, though, is there anything, whether it's a signing bonus or whether it's the under those requirements, is there anything that verifies that they're actually carrying medical malpractice insurance in the first place?
Representative Hallinan.
Thank you, Madam Chairman and Mr. Majority Leader. The way that I think that this amendment that we have is the premiums paid by the qualified medical professional during the most recent calendar year. That's part of the Committee of the Whole amendment. So if they haven't paid any, they don't have anything to ask for reimbursement from. So that's how we dealt with that question. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chairperson. If there are no other questions, I would call for a question on the bill.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you. And I the good representative from Campbell County has pointed out the Committee of the Whole amendment. And in trying to track that through, I still see 50%. It's either 50% on a two-year deal, 50% of the total cost paid during the most recent calendar year. Understand that. That shows us that they were actually carrying Med-Mal insurance. But then it still goes on your amendment, on the Committee of the Whole amendment lines 19 and 20, says, or a total of $15,000 at the execution of the service contract. I still don't know that there's any proof there to getting that $15,000 that it's ever going to be used for reimbursement of any present or future medical malpractice liability coverage. And then under Romanet 2, on the four-year service contract, it's the same type of language, lesser of 100% paid during the recent year, which, again, I don't have a problem with because necessarily we know they had it, or $30,000. So if I come in and I want to sign up for 4 years and $30,000 turns out to be the lesser amount between 100% of what I paid last year, then I get $30,000. Do I have to prove that I'm carrying medical malpractice insurance, or do I just have $30,000 extra dollars in my pocket and there's no insurance premium that I have to contribute that to? There's no proof there. Is there anything that says where they sign when they sign the four-year commitment, I get the $30,000, and I say I sign under oath, I'm still going to maintain my private practice, and I'm still going to maintain my Med-Mal coverage for the next 4 years?
Representative Hallinan.
Thank you, Madam Chairman, and thank you, Mr. Majority Leader. I think we're getting the beginning of wisdom here. I think the Majority Leader is absolutely correct. If the gentleman who signed the contract resigned from his private practice but maintained his residence in the state of Wyoming and continued to be a qualified medical professional, then he would still get the money. And the idea here is, it's not simply to pay their malpractice insurance. This was selected as a mechanism for deciding how much to award for various types of physicians. And this is the concept is that, for instance, you look at most of the ones that are paying these higher premiums are surgeons and so on. This is a significant issue for them. Pretty much the malpractice that people pay trends pretty closely to the kind of income that they derive as a physician. If we paid everybody the same amount, same as a family physician, we wouldn't get very many surgeons. We paid everybody as an orthopedic surgeon, we'd break the bank. So this is kind of a thumbnail approach as to how much money it's required to recruit certain types of physicians. Whether they continue to practice in that method here in the state of Wyoming is another issue. We're trying to recruit for the National Guard, and this is how a good way to get more people to join the National Guard. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I would just ask one more thing or make one more comment. If our focus isn't solely on recruitment through helping to pay for medical malpractice insurance premiums, it's my understanding, and I'd like to be corrected, but I believe we provide other incentives. I know in regular active duty they do. For medical professionals, legal professionals to come in at a higher rank and also through monetary bonus payments to recruit those critical need areas, specifically medical, dental, and so forth. And so I just have the concern on this that if I don't know that they're using the money to pay for medical malpractice insurance premiums, I don't know that that type of incentive needs to be provided.
Representative Hallinan.
I think there is a possibility that they may retire from their practice. I think it's very unlikely. The National Guard doesn't really pay enough to retire from your medical practice. When you get a new physician in the military, they all start out as a captain. And a captain, if you look at their salary, it's not going to be a great deal. So we do have a need for these types of physicians. This is what the military department has indicated. This is probably the best way. I don't know of a better way than a signing bonus. And I don't know of a better way than paying more to get physicians that have a higher income and to whom the recruitment bonus will be most effective. And I will thank the Madam Chairman on that and let somebody else talk.
Representative Stewart.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Question, what kind of discussions were had as far as the availability of these physicians in the federal tort program? That I know we have a federal tort program available to physicians practicing in our community health centers, and I was just puzzled if these physicians could be brought into that program or if this was discussed.
Representative Hallinan.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I believe the statistics quoted by the military department was about, they have about, only about 60%, 50-60% of their medical slots filled nationwide. And if you look at the handout that I had passed out, it proves to be the case here in Wyoming. I think that's your question. There was some other part of it that I haven't answered.
Representative Stewart.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. Didn't quite nail it, but the question is, we have an available federal program that provides medical malpractice to doctors under the, I think it's called the Federal Tort Program, that is made available to doctors practicing in our community health centers. And my question was what kind of investigation or discussion there was regarding availability of this program to our doctors that are working in the Guard.
Representative Hallinan.
Thank you, Madam Chairman, and thank you, Representative Stewart. To my knowledge, and I got out of the National Guard not very long ago, there is no other program of that sort available to join the National Guard. But I can't say that that specific question was addressed at the committee. Thank you.
Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Cohey's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill number 46 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 46 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 155. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
House Bill 155, introduced by Representative Harshman, an act relating to higher education matching funds programs. This bill was referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations, which recommended that it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Hammonds, Harshman, Pedersen, Philp, Stewart, excused, Jorgensen, signed, Representative Berger, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. Excuse me. Representative Yagi, did you need...
Yeah, privilege of the floor.
Please go ahead.
I had Mick Powers right here, and he left. I was going to introduce him from the Oasis. Well, he was going to come and say hello to you anyway. So I guess Mick Powers and our Commissioner Craig Welling. So I don't even know if you need to clap.
Thank you, Representative Yagi. Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole releases to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill number 155 do pass. And I'll defer to the prime sponsor, Representative Harshman.
Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you to the good majority floor leader for moving this bill up. I
appropriations will be off the floor on Monday doing markup, and so this bill wouldn't have made the cut today, and so I appreciate you moving it up. I think it's pretty straightforward, and I'd stand for any questions. I have a handout in your tray that came about 10 minutes ago. It has a big circle around some typewriting that says House Bill 155, and then my name's off to the right with number 37 for my House district. This is probably one of the most wildly successful programs that we have ever introduced and passed into law off this floor. And really, we have four endowment matching programs. Of course, we have one for our community colleges. And then at our university, we have really three separate endowment matching programs. And they're on that list as you go down that history, the endowment matching fund program. And you can see the bullet points there established in 2001. And the last bullet there, nearly $85 million has been appropriated. And essentially, all of it is secure, and we've already collected $66 million. So that money has been all used up now and has gone to the foundation, so we've doubled our money there. The Athletic Facilities Matching Fund program that we established in 2004, and you can see that $16 million was appropriated. It is all committed, and we've received $12 million of it. And then finally, the third university is the Academic Facilities Match. We've appropriated $43.35 million, and $31 million has been committed, and there's $10 million out there that the governor recommends what we do with it, and that's a separate issue. I don't even want to talk about that today. It doesn't pertain to this bill, and we can talk about that when we get to the budget. And then finally, it says Wyoming Community Colleges. That was established also in 2004, and it's not on your bullets. I apologize, it got cut off there, but $39.5 million we've appropriated. The community colleges have already received 34.6 of that 39. So the grand total for these four endowment matches that this body has appropriated is $183.5 million. We've raised, I should say, the university and community colleges have raised $168.6 million of that. So it's probably the only program where the state of Wyoming gets a 2-4 on its money, and then also the donor. It's been wildly successful. The reason for this bill is really two things. This is the third time now that we've come back in front of this body to extend the program. This program now will fade away, particularly for the community college. It is done with donor commitments in this summer, and the program fades away off the books at the end of the year. The other UW matching funds will also fade away in the next couple of years. So we've come back time and time again and rewritten and codified the law. What this proposal is just to leave this structure in place. We know it works. It's secure. The money is all, then can all be taken care of by this body as we appropriate money and we decide whether we're going to put money into it or not. And of course this year it doesn't look like any money is going to go into it. And so that's really it provides more certainty for the donors and really more predictability in the program. And once again, it's just been wildly successful. We heard stories at our community colleges. See, there's no limit on those gifts, on a size limit, whereas the University of Wyoming is looking at $25,000 minimums. But the cool thing about that $25,000 minimum, it can be spread out over 5 years. A person, many folks can't give 25 grand, but they can find a way to give 5 grand per year over those 5 years. The community college is even kind of cooler. There's really no, you can donate a dollar. And in fact, the faculty here at LCCC has donated like 330,000 of their own money, the faculty has. And the stipulation we have in the law is that once these small gifts, $10, $100, reach $10,000, then the community college turns it in and gets the match. So it's been a great program. I'd ask for your consideration, your favorable consideration, that we don't have to come back every couple of years and renew the legislation, because I think it's been one of the most wildly successful things we've done. And with that, Madam Chair, I'll quit my filibuster here and stand for any questions.
Chairman Childers.
Well, Madam Chair, you know, far be it from me to ever question the matching funds program or the Hathaway program, being that both the two people standing up here and talking about these things, brought the original Hathaway program. But the thing that concerns me is, of course, at the end of the bill, the $31 million from the general fund, and the discussion that the governor's budget is already enough that we barely have any money left over for our individual projects. And then from what I've heard from LSO, the several hundred million that we have on the individual bills, committee and so forth, I guess what I need to either hear from the sponsor of the bill or from the head of the Appropriations Committee, how's this fit in the overall scheme of things?
Representative Harshman.
Madam Chair, thank you, Chairman Childers. The overall scheme and the budget plan, there is not one more dollar in this year's budget for this program. We're not asking for $1. That's already appropriated last year in our standard budget. Now, your question about the $31 million, I think it was down to the third bullet. I believe your question was about the academic facilities matching fund, and that was the part I didn't want to talk about, but I'll sure talk about it. It doesn't really pertain to this bill because this body will have a chance to decide if we want to do that. Now, what the good chairman of TRW is referring to is that only about $31 million out of that $43.35 has been committed. So there's some money left in this matching fund program. What the governor would like to do is take $10 million of that and switch it to the other endowment funds, the matching funds, that could snap it up tomorrow and match it. Now, we'll decide that, you know, an appropriations markup, and then, of course, you will on the floor. So there's that $10 million that they've had a hard time. People don't line up in droves to fund the psychology building. And so they've got a little extra money. They've raised 31. There's about 10, 11, 12 million left. And the governor's proposed that we move three of that again into the athletics match and seven into the endowment match, which the university is confident they could secure that this week. You know what I mean? So it's just a matter of moving that. And we'll decide that as a body. But it really doesn't affect this legislation at all. This is simply to not let this mechanism, not let this program that we've set up and tested now over the last 5, 6, 7 years fade away. And so, Madam Chair, that's really the intent of this. Because the community colleges are very nervous because they're going to have to secure their donations here by this summer, and they'll have to collect them by the end of this year. The program's gone for the community colleges.
Representative Connolly.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I rise in support of this bill. In my other life, I'm a university professor, and I also served 6 years as a department head. And I can't tell you how wildly successful this program is, as well as the Hathaway Scholarship. In talking with donors or potential donors, it gave me great pride to talk about our state and how much emphasis is put on the success of the university, and this was one element of it. So I would urge the support of this bill. Thank you.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'd like to ask the sponsor of the bill a question. As I understand, this money could be swept, and rather than sweep it, the governor's proposing to move it around maybe or something if it isn't used, and this bill would establish that the program can't be swept, or I'm getting kind of confused here just exactly what we're trying to do with the language in the bill.
Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And perhaps I didn't teach this very well. I'm going to go back because I obviously didn't explain this. If you look under the history there on the front page of the handout, and you can see the history of it. This endowment matching fund for the university was the original program was established in 2001. We require a $50,000 gift before the state will match it. And then the 2001 law, the commitments were required by 2005, and the payment had to be received by the end of 2010. We came back in 2004, amended the law, where the commitments could go out to 2006, and the payments could also go out a year. And then we also added another amendment that commitments could go to 2009 and then payments out to 2014. So it's been under just that part of the statute. We've been coming back because they'll have these donors who say are going to donate $5 million, $1 million over a year, but it just doesn't quite fit their time frame. If there's only two years left on the sunset, then we have to come back, and we've done it for specific, very wealthy donors because we didn't want to lose a $1 or $2 million gift to the university. And so that's that part. If the same is true for the athletic facilities, just a little bit different time. You can see the athletic facilities, the 2006 amendments to the law. The commitments are going to be required by the end of this year, and all the payments will be required in just 2 years. So, you know, there's folks out there who would like to extend that to a five-year period and give large amounts of money. The academic facilities match as well. It sunsets. They have to work on their commitments through the end of this year, and in just 2 years, the program goes away. And I think that then the other part is down here at the community colleges. The 2004 law, commitments are required by June of this year. So they're scrambling right now, trying to get folks to donate. But then the other part is they're required to pay in just one more year. And then the program goes away forever unless we come back in and rewrite it. And I just think, again, this is the third time in just a few years we've had to talk about this. It's wildly successful. We control the purse strings. There's no money ever leaves the state treasurer's office until that match is cash in hand. It's not a commitment. It's when the $1 million arrives at the community college, then that money gets matched with the state treasurer from the money that we appropriate. And so we are in control of the program, absolutely.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Berger's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 155 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 155 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Joint Resolution 3. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
House Joint Resolution Number 3, introduced by Representative Childers, a resolution proposing to amend the Wyoming Constitution to modify the terms of office of legislators and providing for implementation. Your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, was recommended that it do pass. Ayes, Brown, Kraft, Dirks, Hales, Illaway, Lubnow, Miller, Stubson, Wanitzer, signed Representative Illaway, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Illaway?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with recommendation that House Joint Resolution 3 do pass. And to explain the joint resolution, the good chairman of TRW from House District 50.
Chairman Childers.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ladies and gentlemen, House Joint Resolution 3 is an old friend from a few years ago. It's slightly changed. The issue is still the same. If you'll go to page 2, line 7, what we're proposing to do is change the Constitution to change that from the first Monday to the second Tuesday. Now, the reason for this is really simple. Between the first Monday of January this year, in all odd number of years from now on, if we don't change it, between the first Monday and when we convene, half the Senate is in charge. Now, if you think that's scary, basically what the problem is, we are elect between that period. None of the House members are official until we're sworn in when we convene, and half the Senate's that way. Last 2 years ago, it died in the Senate, and it may die again, but quite frankly, since Management Council has already tried to meet in this period, and LSO said, no, you can't meet. And then as co-chair of the Select Committee on Wildlife and Natural Resources, we were going to meet on January the 8th, and we had to meet on December 29th, and I wasn't very happy with my committee beating me up for meeting the Monday after Christmas of last year. So, you know, it's a short period of time, but I think if we're going to continue the citizens' business, we ought to pass this bill and do a good job of explaining it to the citizens so we can get it in the Constitution. Thank you.
Is there any other discussion? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Illaway's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Joint Resolution 3 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Joint Resolution has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 138. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
House Bill 138, introduced by Representative Madden, an act relating to taxation and revenue regarding property tax refund program. This bill was referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue, which recommended that it do pass with amendments. Ayes, Anderson, Edmonds, Escobel, Goggles, Madden, Miller, Peterson, Semlek, Wallace. Signed, Representative Anderson, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Anderson?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with recommendation that House Bill 138 do pass. I also have a Committee of the Whole amendment that I would like to, I would move at this time, Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1.
Standing Committee Amendment.
Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 138 and ask for your aye vote on this one. It changes the effective date to 2008. From 2009, because that is the assessed valuation that, or the tax bills that will be starting coming out. So it will affect the bills that are going to come to you this spring, be in effect for those, for a refund from those bills that, those property tax bills that you get. And I'd call for the question on the amendment.
Question being called. All those in favor of Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 13, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 138 has been adopted. We're back on the bill. Chairman Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. You have on your desk somewhere a spreadsheet that kind of tells you a lot of things. It's got Representative Madden's name on it, and it's about House Bill 138. This is a piece of legislation that is already on the books, but we feel like we've made some improvements to make it more useful to a needs-based property tax relief program. And I'd like to turn over the explanation to those amendments that are on that legislation to Representative Madden at this time.
Representative Madden.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. If you take your bill and take a look at it on page 2, on line 9 and 10 is the first change. All that does is change the policy on when taxes have to be paid in order to be eligible. And it just means that you have to have your taxes paid by the first Monday in June. You would have to, if you paid them after May 1, after the due date, you still have to pay a penalty, but you would not be precluded from applying for this program. The next change occurs on line 14 on page 3, where we change the income guideline from two-thirds to three-fourths of medium household income. We did that because there's just a lot of people that were about two-thirds of the people that weren't approved were just a few dollars over the limit on income, and it turned out that if you have a couple that are both on Social Security, a lot of times that adds up to be a little bit more than two-thirds of income. So we think that's an important improvement. Next change is down in line 22 on page 3, where we raise the asset limits. Next change is redefining what an IRA is or what IRAs are allowed, and that's on line 5. And then on line 9, we exempt medical savings accounts. Then in section 2, line 12, this makes this bill stand alone with regard to other programs like the veterans program. I'll be glad to answer any questions on any of these if you have any questions on it.
Representative Korberg.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I guess, is there any information that's available on repealing Section 2? Then how much more, how many more people would be affected and what their total relief would be? Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Representative Mann.
The total relief would be somewhat very moderate, in fact, but there are a number of overlaps with the veterans program and with the refund program that we're talking about. As you know, the refund program is a refund of half of your taxes or up to half your taxes that you actually pay. The veterans program just cuts down the amount of taxes that you do pay. This means that if you got a $1,200 tax bill and you get the veterans exemption and you're down to $1,000, then you get a refund up to $500. And we found that, you know, we didn't know this until we made the changes last year, that that caused a lot of problems as it interfaced with the veterans program. Because so many veterans couldn't use, they're worse off by using the veterans program than if they took advantage of it.
Chairman Anderson.
Just to add to that, the department found that there was about quite a few denials on the needs base because they'd already applied for the veterans and they'd actually got more money with the needs based. So the overlap is really insignificant and just causes more administrative headache than it's worth. Because once they've taken the exemption, drops that property tax down, and the addition isn't that much. And so it creates more problems than the problem itself.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Question being called, all those in favor of Chairman Anderson's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill number 138 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 138 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 117. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
House Bill 117, introduced by Representative Throne, an act relating to campaign finance reporting. This bill was referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, which recommended that it do pass with amendments. Ayes, Brown, Kraft, Dirks, Hales, Illaway, Lubnow, Miller, Stubson, Zwanitzer, Dan. Signed, Representative Illaway, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Illaway?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with recommendation that House Bill 117 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee amendments. The sponsor of the bill from House District 11 discuss that Standing Committee amendment, and then we can vote on it.
Representative Throne.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The Standing Committee amendment is pretty straightforward. Essentially, the bill as drafted proposes a limit for political action committee contributions of $1,000 per election cycle. And this amendment, page on line 2, simply allows an increase to $3,000 limit from political action committees, and I certainly think that's a reasonable amount. The other portion of this amendment addresses somewhat of a loophole in our current reporting requirements, and if you turn to page 4 of the bill. I can explain it. Page 4 of the bill, as all of us know, if we remember back to the spring or the summer and fall when we filed our campaign reports, you file your campaign receipts reports in advance of the election. And the purpose of this section and this amendment to this section is to clarify that if between the time you file your receipts report and election day, you receive additional contributions and single contributions, not aggregate contributions, single contributions of $500 or greater, that you supplement your report. And with that explanation, I would stand for any questions, or I would call for the question if there's no discussion.
Question being called. All those Chairman McComey, excuse me.
Did I understand that correct, that for instance, if on the day before the election somebody would give me a $500 contribution, that I'd have to immediately get a hold of the Secretary of State's office and tell them that I got a $500 contribution?
Representative Throne.
Madam Chair, no, because you have 24 hours. The close of the next business day.
So I'd have to do it if I got it the day before. So I'd be out campaigning real hard and then get that, and then the next thing I know I could be in violation if I don't remember to somehow notify the elections office. Madam Chairman, I'd like to divide the amendment.
Actually,
Chairman McComey, how would you like to?
Well, let's let the good lady from down here at Cheyenne explain more to me. Maybe I'm getting a little excited.
Okay. Representative Throne.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The provision I described is in the bill. The amendment simply clarifies what's in the bill. So perhaps the best course would be to simply vote on the amendment, and then the good chairman and I can try and work out something on his issue, because the amendment doesn't affect his concern, is what I'm saying.
Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Madam Chair. What it says on line 4, or on page 4, that any additional receipts of $500 or more received from one contributor other than the candidate or the candidate's immediate family shall be reported not later than the close of the following business day. Gives you 24 hours. The amendment says any additional receipts of $500 or more received from one contributor other than the candidate or the candidate's immediate family, which are received after the date the fully itemized statement of receipts is due and prior to or on the date of election, shall be reported not later than the close of the following business day. Just says that if you've sent your fully itemized statement in, it's still got to come in within 24 hours. But it says not later than the close of the following business day. Pretty easy. It doesn't do anything more except try to clarify that 7-day period.
Representative Throne?
Madam Chair, again, we're getting into the substance of the bill, and I haven't even really explained it yet, so perhaps if we could vote on the amendments and then discuss the substance of the bill.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. On and against the Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, just think back to what we have in law now, and that is that you file all of your receipts 7 days before. You've got to do that, and I think everybody here did that. And now they're asking if you get anything between then and the election that's $500 or more, in 24 hours you've got to get in there. I'm curious as to what we're looking for on this, because shortly after the election, you have to report all of your expenditures along with any receipts between the 7 days before and any period afterwards. So I'm not sure that we're doing anything in the way of transparency and that sort of thing. We're just giving us ourselves another activity in the last 7 days that I'm not sure makes much difference on what we ultimately report shortly after the election time. So I'm against the amendment as I understand it.
Representative Edmonds.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. On and against the amendment, and I almost want to divide the amendment, I'm on and against in particular the increase from political action committees from $1,000 to $3,000. I think I'll go ahead and divide the amendment, if that's all right, Madam Chairman. The first division would be line 1 through 3. The second would be 4 through 8.
That motion is in order.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to go ahead and speak to division number 1 and speak against division number 1. I think we've seen enough special interest money, and I don't believe our constituents, having spent a lot of time with my constituents this fall into November, I think we're making a move here that's just not consistent with the will of the people. I'm not at all interested in raising it from 1,000 to 3,000, and I would speak against Division 1.
We are on Division 1. Is there any other discussion, Representative Zwanitzer?
Thank you. Real quick, Madam Chairwoman. The discussion in committee was that right now this law applies across the board, and we do have several elections in the state, particularly for the highest office, which do receive a lot more contributions. They wanted a higher limit set for that race and wanted some kind of tiered system, I think, which the committee wasn't quite ready to move into a tiered system for some races and not others. So the $3,000 was a good compromise, because in some of these races, especially for statewide offices, some of the PACs would like to give more money. I guess it is a public policy decision, but that was the rationale behind it.
Representative Bechtel.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Rising in opposition to the first part of this amendment, I too am quite concerned about the increase three times. I think there is concern about where those funds can come from.
Is there any other discussion on Division 1? Chairman Childers.
Well, Madam Chairman, I think it was made pretty clear that the statewide races cost considerably more, and I think it's important that that be brought in. And again, the gentleman said we do not have a tiered system, so the statewide races are part of this bill as well as the individual legislators. So I think it's important that we allow the flexibility for those run statewide races that don't wind up in debt quite a bit and at least have a chance to get elected.
Representative Throne, did you have anything to add?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would just emphasize that we really don't have limits on PAC contributions now, and it's your call. I think that $3,000 is a reasonable compromise, but obviously as the bill was originally drafted, it was $1,000.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. In committee, we took note of the fact that this is about political action committees, PACs. And PACs are frequently made up of a large number of individuals who contribute to those. And to say that, for instance, 10 people in a PAC can only give $1,000 just seemed out of proportion. It didn't seem right. Where if 10 individuals gave individually, they could give $10,000. And that was the rationale for making an increase in, we're talking about PAC contributions here, that was the rationale for increasing from $1,000 to $3,000. Now, it's true if you had a one-person PAC, then it is increasing their ability to influence an election. But We can handle that other places. The question here is, on a PAC typically made up of a large number of individuals that's contributing money, is it right to hold them down per election to $1,000? And it does say in here that for purposes of this section, the primary, general, and special elections are deemed separate elections. So in the typical scenario with a primary and a general, that would allow the PAC to contribute $3,000 in the primary, $3,000 in the general. Some of these PACs have hundreds of people in them. And we didn't think that $1,000 contribution in the primary and another $1,000 contribution in the general from that kind of a PAC was an appropriate proportional to the number of people that are involved.
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. With respect to division number one and page three of the bill, and the representative from Laramie was just talking about this section, the $1,000 per election that's in lines 10 through 13, and then the next sentence in lines 13 through 15, the language about these, the primary, general, and special elections shall be deemed separate elections. To me, I still think that someone could give, under the amendment, $9,000 to somebody in a primary. That language is not at all clear to me that it is per election. I know it says $1,000 per election during the two-year period, but I think that would be construed as saying you could give it all at once. And that's the way it was construed this year. So if you want to allow someone to give $3,000 or $9,000 to a to someone in the primary, that's what subsection J does, in my opinion. And if we raise it to three, that's a big chunk of change to allow one PAC to contribute.
Representative Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I don't know where the good speaker is getting the $9,000 number. Right now it's $3,000 for the primary and $3,000 for the general, so I'm up to six, but I'm not sure where the nine's coming from. So maybe somebody could explain that.
Okay. Mr. Speaker.
Madam Chairman, I think the way the language would be construed as it's written would be it doesn't say specifically that it can only be $3,000 under the amendment, Division 1, per election. I know that maybe the view on the floor is that's what it says. I don't think that's what it says or means.
Representative Throne.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Certainly, the intent of the language, whether it's a $1,000 limit or a $3,000 limit, and I think Mr. Speaker's concern may go beyond the scope of the amendment, because it's certainly the intent of the bill to clarify that it's per election, which means $1,000 for the primary or $3,000, whichever you choose, $1,000 or $3,000 during the general. And if we have a drafting problem, I'm certainly committed to working with the speaker to clarify that. But certainly, I do not want this bill to allow somebody to give even a statewide candidate a PAC, to give a statewide candidate, $6,000 or $9,000 on, August 1st, 3 weeks before the primary. That's certainly not the intent of the bill.
Representative Brown.
Oh, Madam Chairman, I don't know how we can make it any more clear. And we did talk about the problem that was ruled on last time about aggregating money for elections, and that's exactly why the language says each of the primary, general, and special elections shall be deemed separate elections. Because the question was, well, if you have a candidate who's running for office, they're going to be in the primary and then they're going to be in the general, could you make the full contribution at the time of the primary? And could that person use that the full amount of the aggregate contribution If this passes, it'd be $6,000. Could the PAC give an individual $6,000 at the onset of the election process, and he could use that $6,000, then lose the primary, then they'd be over contributed by $3,000. How would that come back? What would you do? And we felt that this language, in fact, addressed all those problems and made it clear that it's per election. So there can be $3,000 for the primary. There's not a general election in process or occurring until the primary has concluded. So they couldn't aggregate up front. They could do $1,000 or $3,000, whichever it may be, per election. And just to solve that problem, and I don't, frankly, don't know how to write it any more clearly.
Representative Edmonds.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. And on Division 1 again, I just want to repeat and encourage the body to defeat this amendment. I've heard from several speakers that this was a compromise. I don't think it's a good compromise at all. If the committee was looking at a tier system because of statewide offices, then maybe we can come back in the second read with a second reading amendment and discuss a tier system and look at that as a compromise. But this is not a good compromise. This is, we've had comments that we are seeing the price of elections going up and up and up. This is only going to contribute to that issue. In particular, our legislative races are not the non-statewide races. So I'm going to ask the body to defeat Division 1. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Is there any other discussion on Division 1? Representative Throne?
I'd call for the question, Madam Chair.
So just to be clear, we're voting on Division 1, which is lines 1 through 3 of Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 117. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
Division 1 has passed. We are on Division 2. Representative Throne.
Again, I would urge the body maybe to approve this amendment because most of the discussion we've had on this amendment is actually on the substance of the bill. And then let me explain the bill and we can debate the provision in total. But this amendment is simply a clarification of the requirement that's in the bill. So if you have a problem with what's in the bill, I think it would be more efficient to get to the bill.
Representative Stubson.
Madam Chair, and just as a clarification, if you vote against this amendment, the requirement of reporting those $500 gifts within 24 hours is still there. What this does, without this language, what you have is language that doesn't confine it to that 7-day period prior to the election up to the election. And so there's some confusion. What if a $500 gift comes in 2 days after the election? Well, you haven't reported it, and so does that 24-hour requirement come into play or not? That's what this amendment is meant to address, to clarify, no, we're only talking about that 7-day period. So whatever you feel about the 24-hour requirement, I would urge you to vote in favor of this amendment so that you don't create a situation where in that time period after the election we're left in confusion about whether we need to report those gifts within 24 hours.
Question being called on Division 2, which is lines 4 through 8. On Standing Committee Amendment Number 1. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Division 2 has been adopted. We are back on the bill. Representative Throne.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Beware getting bogged down in Standing Committee amendments before you actually get to the bill. Members of the 60th, it's my pleasure to bring to you House Bill 117. For those of you who were members of the 59th, this is the bill we had last year on campaign finance reform. And it's sort of ironic that our senior senator was here today reminding us of the 80-20 rule, because I used the 80-20 rule in the committee. Last year, we had a lot of debate over this bill, but this is the 80% we agreed on last year. This is the 80% that did not lead to controversy. The 20% that led to controversy last year is gone. And when this bill died. It didn't die in the when the bill was not enacted into law last year. We lost a lot of good campaign finance reform that I think all of us could agree on. And if there are parts of this that still make folks uncomfortable, I'm certainly open to discussing changes. But again, this is a bill that we pretty much liked last year. Or 2 years. Well, it was last year. In any event, let me explain the bill. Page 2 is just a clarification of the jurisdiction. Page 3 allows organizations that collect money from employees to continue to collect donations for their PACs and until the employee tells them that they no longer want to contribute. J and K are really the heart of the bill. This bill was proposed last year to address a rather enormous loophole that led to a problem in Natrona County in the 2006 election cycle. Essentially, what happened, as I understand it, and again, this is intended to close that loophole, to circumvent the individual reporting requirements, an individual contributed approximately $11,000 to a PAC, and then the PAC then contributed that entire amount to a single candidate, thereby pretty much circumventing our whole campaign finance process and the limits on individual contributions. So that is the primary purpose of the bill and the issue that got this bill rolling last year. And it's really important that we close that loophole or we allow extremely wealthy individuals to completely circumvent the individual contribution limits. Going on page 4, and I can see that perhaps this will, page 4, subsection A, little Romanet I, and I think I can tell that perhaps this is the 20% of the bill that folks are going to disagree about this year. But in any case, the purpose of this is to as much as possible, to fully disclose large contributions before Election Day. And we're talking contributions from a single contributor, non-family member. So that essentially, for those folks who want to get a large contribution from somebody before the election, they can time their report, file the report, and then, you know, accept the contribution 2 days later and not have to disclose it until the next reporting cycle. So this just is intended to increase transparency of contributions, to allow the public to know who's supporting our campaigns. It's not intended to inconvenience candidates in any way. The remainder of the bill is a political action committee reporting requirements to clarify that those PACs formed in the state of Wyoming. There are many out-of-state PACs that contribute to various campaigns in Wyoming, but we need reporting requirements for in-state PACs. And then finally, the 5 and 6 of the bill is just notice requirements. And I would stand for any questions.
Representative Edmonds.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Just a question for the bringer of the bill, and of course, as I stated already, and with the passing of Division 1, I'm against the bill. This reporting requirement 7 days prior to the election, have you spoken to the agency that oversees all this? Are they going to be willing, obviously, to police the candidates? Also, when you say contribution, are you saying that I need to report it 24 hours after the day of the date on the check, the day I put it in the bank? Can I just stick it in a drawer and I don't have to report it? Did you have any of those discussions?
Representative Throne.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In response to the first question, representative of the Secretary of State's election office attended the committee meeting, and she did not express any concerns about this provision. Second question, that may be something we should clarify, would assume date of receipt to the candidate.
Representative Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. Just to remind the body, we did pass an electronic campaign finance statute that's going to go into effect here the next election. So all of our reporting will be online, which would make this a lot easier, I think, than if you're looking at thinking about how the current process works. It will be different. It will be computerized entry. It will be very accessible to the public. So when you're reading this bill, keep in mind that's where our election laws are going. It's going to be an online system that anybody can view and that we can update every day from our homes. So I think that was lost in the discussion somewhere.
Representative Brechtel.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I think my question's already been asked, but just to maybe a little bit clearer, but definition on receipt. Is it the day that the check was written, the day you got it in the mail? Somebody called you on the phone and let you know it's coming, or what does that mean?
Representative Throne.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's the date that you have it, the date that it's in your hand. And if we need clarification on that, I'm certainly open to suggestions.
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Page 2, lines 7 and 8. This is the, it attempts to clarify that the civil penalty, you would be subject to a civil penalty upon conviction in a court of competent jurisdiction on lines 7 and 8. It seems to mix criminal and civil terminology. It's a civil penalty. How does that differ from a fine? And then you have to pay reasonable attorney's fees, too. And are those the state's fees? And then on page 5, the new language in lines 6 through 11, every candidate in any primary election and every political action committee or candidate's campaign committee formed in this state which contributed money to a candidate during the current election. What does the current election mean? And then it says, shall file a fully itemized statement of receipts and expenditures within 10 days after the primary. So it refers to primary at the beginning and the end, and then current election in the middle there. That I was confused by that.
Representative Throne.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm sorry, Mr. Speaker. Could you, what page was your last question?
Mr. Speaker.
Madam Chairman, page 5, lines 6 through 11.
Representative Throne.
Line 6 is the first one. It says primary election. Line 9 uses the term current election. And then 11, page 11, or line 11 uses the term primary again, and I wonder why it's what current election means.
Representative Throne.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll answer the first question first. I agree with the speaker that that's probably a poor choice of terms, something we didn't catch in the cleanup of last year's bill, because it's language from last year's bill. It should probably not suggest it's a criminal conviction when we're talking about a civil penalty of up to $10,000. With regard to the second question, I think that the placement of current is probably incorrect, and it should be election or primary. I think that the entire section refers to the primary election.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I had forgotten that we had voted in the electronic reporting because I was thinking of the mechanics problem that you have trying to get a hold of a treasurer or a campaign chairman if you've got one and try to get that all done within 24 hours. If in fact you can do that without any kind of co-op kind of signatures from the other supporters, one of my objections was just the flat mechanics of trying to do that close to an election, and then if it got to the Secretary of State's office in some sort of a paper form, of what value would that be because it couldn't get distributed. So if in fact it can be done by just the candidate who received it or the treasurer of the candidate received it and they can report it electronically, that concern I had is removed. Can you clarify that for me, please?
Representative Throne.
Madam Chair, I think Chairman Lockhart brings up a good point, and I will confirm with the Secretary of State's office that electronic filing will solve that problem because I've certainly had the issue of running all over town trying to find my treasurer and my campaign chairman to get them to sign the form so I could turn it in. And I'm sure we've all had similar experiences. We wouldn't want to create that much burden. Again, the point is to simply allow the public to have full disclosure of our campaign contributions prior to the election.
Excuse me. Representative Bonner.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'm wondering if the good representative from Laramie County is going to consider further the definition of received. A situation that occurred during this particular election cycle, a check, a contribution received in the mail, held for a number of days, even weeks, before a determination was made whether or not to accept the contribution, and then the check being returned. My point would be it was not received because it had never been accepted, and that I hope would also be taken into consideration in that looking back at defining that term. Thank you very much.
Representative Throne.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And again, we will, of course, look at this, but receipt is the act of receiving in the dictionary.
Is there any other discussion on House Bill 117? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Illaway's motion when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 117 do pass. Please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
The chair is in doubt. All those in favor, please stand.
Yeah.
All those opposed, please stand. Chairman Landon, are you standing? Or no? Thank you. Pursuant to House Rule 10-5B, the bill having failed a voice vote, having failed a standing division vote, a roll call vote is required. The Chief Clerk will please call the roll.
Anderson.
No.
Bagby.
No.
Barbuto.
Aye.
Berger. Berger. Blake.
Aye.
Bonner.
No.
Brechtel.
No.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Bird.
No. Kennedy.
No.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers.
No.
Cohey.
No.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
No.
Dirks.
Aye.
Edmonds.
No.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Gilmore.
Aye.
Gingery.
No.
Goggles.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye.
Hallinan.
No.
Hammonds excused. Harshman. Harshman. Harshman excused. Harvey.
No.
Illaway.
Aye.
Gagey.
No.
Jorgensen. Jorgensen excused. Landon.
Aye.
Lockhart.
No.
Lubno.
No.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
No.
McComey.
No.
Mercer.
No.
Meyer.
No.
Miller.
No.
Millen.
Moniz. No.
Patton.
No.
Peasley.
No.
Pedersen. Pedersen excused. Peterson.
No.
Philp. Philp excused. Korberg.
No.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Semlick.
No.
Shepperson.
No.
Steward. Steward excused. Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
No.
Thompson.
No.
Throne. Wallace.
No.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
Berger excused. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 18 ayes, 35 noes, 7 excused.
Pursuant to House Rule 10-5B, House Bill 117, having failed a roll call vote, is indefinitely postponed. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move committee the whole rise and report.
You have heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion carries.
Reading clerk, please read the committee of the whole report.
Mr. Speaker, your committee of the whole, having had under consideration bills on general file, beg leave to report as follows. House Bill 25, recommended do pass. House Bill 51, amended and further amended, recommended do pass. House Bill 106, amended, recommended do pass. House Bill 46, amended and further amended. Representative Byrd announced a conflict of interest on House Bill 46, recommended do pass. House Bill 155, recommended do pass. House Joint Resolution Number 3, recommended do pass. House Bill 138, amended, recommended do pass. House Bill 117, amended. Following a failed roll call vote, the bill is deemed indefinitely postponed. Signed, Representative Shepperson, Chairman.
Representative Shepperson.
Mr. Speaker, I move the adoption of the committee of the whole report.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The committee of the whole report has been adopted. Thank you, Representative Shepperson. Messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, message 130. The bills listed below pass the Senate on third reading by an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 8, Feral Livestock, Ayes 29, No 0, Excused 1. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 131. Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below failed to pass the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 30, Bar and Grill Liquor Licenses. Ayes 15, noes 13, 1 excused. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 132. Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate file 36, in her intentional feeding of elk. Ayes 28, noes 1, excused 1. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 133, Mr. Speaker. The bills listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate file 42, Select Committee on Local Government Financing. Ayes 29, excused 1, signed Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 134. Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate file 48, Game and Fish Landowner Coupon Redemption Period. Ayes 29, no, excused 1, signed Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 135. Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate file 53, Property Tax Deferral Program. Ayes 29, excused 1, signed Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 136. Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate file 58, Vehicle Title and Registration. Ayes 29, excused 1, signed Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 137. Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate file 13, Shed Antler Collection. Ayes 16, noes 13, excused 1, signed Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 138. Mr. Speaker, the motion to reconsider the bill listed below passed the Senate by the vote indicated. Senate file 30, Bar and Grill Liquor Licenses. Ayes 14, noes 15, excused 1. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk.
Committee announcements. Chairman Nillaway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, will meet Monday upon noon recess in House 18. We will consider 4 bills, House Joint Resolution 9, Wind Energy, House Bill 74, Water and Sewer Districts Maps, House Bill 78, Improvement and Service Districts, House Bill 104, Special District Elections, Polling Place Requirements.
Representative Brown, could you come up and see me for a second, please? Chairman Childers.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, will meet Monday morning at 8 a.m., January 26th, in room H10 to consider the following bills. House Bill 130, State Parks Matching Account. House Bill 48, Game Bird Farms Raising Sage-Grouse. House Bill 133, Hunting Use of Electronic Sites. And House Bill 207, Internet Hunting. And I would mention that Friday the 30th in the morning, we will be considering the Wolf Bills. And I strongly urge you to let your constituents know if they want to testify on that. We will have probably a video conference on that.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, will meet Monday morning at 8 o'clock to consider the following bills. House Bill 156, it will be just to work the bill and no outside testimony. House Bill 45, Surveyors and Engineers. House Bill 171, Filing for Mineral Exploration Documents.
Chairman Landon.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 10, Labor, will meet upon noon recess to hear in 302 to hear House Bill 31, Smoking in Enclosed Public Places. First, the committee will meet in our regular committee room for lunch, and then we'll adjourn to this meeting. Secondly, on Monday, upon adjournment, we will meet in H17 to hear House Bill 157, Child Fatality Review, and House Bill 146, Emergency Medical Services Sustainability Trust.
Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 1, Judiciary, will meet Monday
at 8 a.m. to take up House Bill 241, Criminal Background Checks Retirement System, House Bill 72, County Jails Release of Information, House Bill 77, Seatbelts, Evidence, and Civil Actions, and House Bill 126, Seatbelts, Evidentiary Use. And we will be meeting at 1 o'clock today to finish up our consideration of House Joint Resolution 12.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 4, Education, will meet upon adjournment today in room H10, where we'll take up amendments, proposed amendments to the Community College Amendments Bill. And on Monday, we'll meet upon adjournment in the evening, where we'll take up House Bill 152, Athletic Trainers Licensing, House Bill 163, Physician Assistant School, and House Bill 212, Hathaway Scholarship Program Eligibility Requirements.
Chairman Semlick.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 5, Agriculture, Public Lands, and Water Resources, will meet Tuesday, January 27th at 7 a.m. We'll continue work on House Bill 17, Discharge Water Management, House Bill 97, Weights and Measures, House Bill 100, the Ominous Water Bill, and House Bill 213, Range Monitoring. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 3, Revenue, will meet Monday morning at 7:30. 7:30 in H11 to continue considering House Bill 145, Rural Health Care District Mill Levy, House Bill 217, College Tuition Property Tax Credit, House Bill 186, Gasoline Tax Agriculture Exemption, 131, Vehicle Sales and Use Tax, 247, Registration Timing, and if we have time, we'll hit on House Bill 37, Veterans Property Tax Exemption.
Thank you, Committee Chairman. I had requested by memo this morning a tentative schedule for your bills that are up this next week. If you haven't turned that into me, I'd appreciate having that, please. Thank you. Any other committee announcements? Representative Thompson. Well, let's make a motion to adjourn, and then we'll boogie. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you for everybody's patience in working after lunch, but you will be rewarded as I move that we adjourn until January 26th, 2009 at 10 a.m.
10 a.m.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. The House is adjourned until Monday morning at 10 a.m. Good work this week, folks, and let's look forward to another good week next week. And because there's a Cowboy basketball game tomorrow, Representative Thompson is going to lead us in Cowboy Joe.